I like watching that tourney every year.
Do you? Because you're a Hartford guy at heart?
No.
That's your spot, TPC.
I will tell you, that was my first kind of hanging with the vets experience. Jeff Sanderson, Andrew Castle, Sean Burke said after practice, anybody want to go play? Like, three of us are going to play TPC Hartford. And I'm like, I don't even know if I should put my hand up for this venture. But I'm like, yeah, I'll go. And they kind of hemmed and hawed, and they're like, I don't know.
What'd you shoot?
I don't know. It was 20 years, 25 years ago.
Were you a good golfer back then, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Darren Dreger in studio. Good to see you, Dregs, as always. Let's get to the Paul Maurice story before we get into the Cup Final and Matthews, et cetera. My read on that would suggest, like, they were committed to Quinville, who's a seasoned veteran, and that's what they want in a coach. And, yeah, Brunette gets screwed over here big time because he took over a dicey situation. He's up for the coach of the year, doesn't end up winning it. But Paul Maurice is in the vein of Quinville, a guy who's been around forever and has presence behind the bench. Is that effectively what happened here?
That's what it boils down to. Bill Zito and, I guess, ownership to some degree of the Florida Panthers, not being overly or deeply disappointed in how little playoff success Florida had. I mean, they won a round, so there's that. But, you know, just looking at the details of you know, how they lost in round two and thinking that maybe an experienced coach could lead this group and find a way to grind the way you got to grind to have some success in the playoffs. And that comes with experience. And, you know, from Paul Maurice's standpoint, he had a select few teams that he was willing to go to. You know, just for a myriad of reasons. You know,
the weather was a factor.
Well,
Darren?
For sure that would be a factor.
Tax-free situation.
Yeah, that's, you know, the term. It's a 3-year term. Yeah. You know, not that he probably needs the money, but, you know, he's got stuff he wants to do with the rest of his life. But so it had to fit from a family perspective. I think Florida would have been a strong option for him. Dallas, they go the direction of Peter DeBoer. Nashville extends John Hines. That would have been a fit. But I think that's what it would have come down to, is three out of the 32 teams.
That team's a hell of a team, too. Yeah. Like, it's not like
how did they put that on Bruno? Like, how did they get swept by Tampa and they just, it's Bruno's fault?
Honestly, I don't know if this sticks out for you guys. It's that one, you know, the Kucherov to Ross Colton play and 1.8, 3 seconds left in that play.
Yeah,
where
Kucherov behind the net.
Yeah, where he had his fourth line on the ice.
Yeah.
That was, I had several coaches reach out to me going, that was a no-no type of thing. That was a rookie mistake. Now, you can't lay that. Tampa outplayed Florida, and Bruno can't put the skates on to make Huberto play better. No, Huberto didn't play well. Bobrovsky, like, that's on hit. But I just think I circled that as a moment where they might go, we need a seasoned guy that doesn't have a situation that, because that game was going in overtime. Yeah.
But what had to happen, you know, again, Bruno deserves credit.
He does.
You know, he took that team over early in the season.
Yes.
Right? Amid trying circumstance. Like, if you know that, then tell him at the end of the season, look, we need an experienced guy.
Right.
So you're not getting the bench back. You can have some time to consider if we get the right experienced candidate.
Right.
You know, you want to stay on as an assistant coach or an associate coach. We'll bump up your salary a little bit. He's got a year left in his contract. Then you can, you know, decide what you want to do, go a different direction next year. To drag it out and to talk to Rick Tocchet and to talk to Paul Maurice and to go through a process to let his assistant coaches go.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole experience from Andrew Burnett's perspective had to be challenging. And I'll tell you this, Paul Maurice has a ton of time for Andrew Burnett. I think he'd prefer that Andrew Burnett stay in Florida and work with him. That's not going to happen.
So these GMs, they think they're such smarty pants.
This is
like, do they not understand? They're all just hiring the coaches that another guy fired. Like, I don't understand that. Like, if you're going to, like, if you're so desperate to fire Bruno, don't you, like, think outside the box? And it's like, I'm not going to say it's a Babcock type, like something that's just not another guy that was just doing it somewhere else. I just don't understand it.
Well, and that could be what Yzerman is waiting for in Detroit.
Well, right? but at what point? Like,
you've got
Yzerman,
Halpern, you've got Lalonde, you've got assistants at, you know, appear to be close and ready. So is that a new perspective, fresh start, because they don't have hard NHL head coaching experience?
But I get what you're saying, but there are guys throughout the league where you're like, that coach would fit my system, fit my program better.
Right.
Like Paul Maurice, you know him better than anybody in this room. Like you had him, you've got a relationship with him. I've only dealt with him on the outside. But he's a good coach, by all accounts, you know, was liked by his team, not everyone. But there's an expiration date. Daryl Sutter's going to get fired at some point. Won Coach of the Year this year.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. You know, Torts gets recycled. I think Torts is the right guy for Philadelphia based on what they've got going there.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, they must see something, whether it's they don't want a hard ass in there because maybe that group wouldn't respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. But if Mo seems to be their fit, maybe they have him get them to the next level, over the hump to the next level.
Sometimes, Jamie, just what you said, those guys wouldn't respond to a hard ass. That's when I think they need a hard ass, because it's like non-negotiable. You're getting it, so deal with it.
Yeah. Well, that might be the group, because I don't know the personalities of Barkov or Huberdeau or right down that Ekblad. Like, that team won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable this year. They just didn't seem to lose. But you run up against Tampa, which is a fantastic team, and do you just run the same team back or run the same program back, or do you look for change going, we need to find a coach or somebody to put us over the hump? That's what they're probably thinking.
Again, obviously they thought they had that with Quenneville, and we know what happened, and that was out of their control, and Quenneville's out.
Yeah.
As for where the Leafs stand, another team that there was respect in the handshake line, so that's worth something.
I'll never get over that
quote, ever. It's almost more memorable than what happened last night, is that quote. But the Leafs, you know, there's going to be moving parts, and I saw CJ on Insider Trading last night saying Mikheyev is looking for and maybe thinks there's a market somewhere between $4 and $5 million a year. If that's the case, he's gone.
Yeah.
But Campbell's different. Like, Campbell, I'm sure, is going to look for as much money as he can get. Like, he's into his 30s. He's got a cash. I don't blame him for that. But the Leafs have to be, I think, more delicate with that position, Dregs. And we can go around the table on this. You can try to cut costs any position possible, but you can't mess with the productivity of that position.
Yeah.
Like, if you pick the wrong guy just because he's cheap, your season might be done before.
Can't happen
starts.
This time around, Brian.
Cannot happen. No. Cannot happen. And that means you got to pay Campbell a little bit more and cut somewhere else. You got to do it.
Yeah, but what's a little bit more? I mean, are you talking $6 million, $6.5 million?
But no. Sorry.
No,
but that's what he's asking for, right?
But let me point this out, okay? Let's say it's, okay, you can have him, or you're going to get two guys that you don't want. But you're only going to pay him collectively $4 million. What the hell does that do for you?
You just had one last year, and look what he was all about.
Mrazek, yeah.
That wasn't good.
Look, as Chris Johnson reported on Insider Trading, what's curious about this to me, and you know, maybe it's just the oddity of having free agency on July 13th. You've got some time, but you know, numbers have been speculated on. Like, we're kind of loosely throwing out $6-$6.5 million. But you know, Chris is right. There hasn't been any meaningful back and forth between Kurt Overhart, KO Sports, who represents Jack Campbell, and Maple Leafs management, which surprises me a little bit. I would feel like you'd want to, you know, get a real sound idea of what an extension in Toronto looks like. Because, look, Jack might say, I feel like I'm a good fit here. I like the group. You know, we've grown together. You know, maybe the term isn't as significant as...
Is that a strategy from the Leafs, though, saying, we're looking elsewhere. If you want to come to us last minute and say, look, I really want to stay here at this price, maybe they get it done?
Yeah, but... So they haven't talked parameters since the end of the season, but it's a bit of semantics, too.
Right.
They did definitely have contract negotiations prior to the start of the season last year, and probably early in the season before things started to wobble, and then you had the injury issues and all of that. Yeah, I'm sure that contract from Toronto's standpoint makes them nervous, but what would make me more nervous is what's available out there.
Yeah. I mean, now you're talking trade market, because if you do want player X, let's say Marc-Andre Fleury, is he coming here? Is he coming to Toronto, or is he going to go, hey, I'm going to do what's best for my family? And what does that price tag look? If you're just looking for goaltenders on straight cash, well, it's the guy who's playing tonight, Darcy Kemper. It's Jack Campbell. You know, who else is out there?
Like Billy Huso.
Billy
your boy.
Huso. See, Huso's interesting. Well, Rick Huso's interesting for me because at 27,
got keen eye.
Well, for sure, and they should.
Oh.
Because if you can find money for Billy Huso, there's a guy that you could partner with
out there.
You can partner with and let him grow with you.
Yeah.
Like he's at 27, he's learning to become a starter. He pushed out Binnington this year. He's got some skills, got some ability, and he's not going to cost you $6
million. No.
To me, he looks in that Drieger contract, 3.5 to 4. So that, again, if you had somebody to play with him, then that's a nice tandem where you
But who is that somebody?
Well,
don't you think it's a risk, Jamie? Like Boston kind of, they fed that
Allmark
kid $5 million. And
right.
I don't know what, he wasn't even the starter.
He isn't. Swayman's 23, and Swayman's going to push him out. But at least you've got guys that are, like Swayman's on an entry-level deal.
Yeah.
So they're not paying, they're paying $6 million for two goaltenders.
Yeah.
So however the money's chopped up, that's different. Allmark, $5 million. So Jack Campbell's probably going, I want every bit of that deal because I made the All-Star team and Allmark got pushed around by Swayman. Although Allmark did start the playoffs for Boston. So it'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds. But I'm just not convinced that it's just, hey, I got to overpay or got to have this guy back based on there's nobody else. You got to be creative because you got to get it right this time. I don't know. Hayes, you feel the same way.
I totally agree with you. I guess that's where I'm at, Noodles, is my priority first with goaltending is get the right goaltender who can play. The cap second is my point, where I don't know if they're thinking, wow, we've only got $5 million allotted for this position, so we'll do what we can. That, to me, is asking for trouble. So that's where I'm saying,
right?
If you got to go with a tandem that's going to cost you a bit more, or one guy who's going to cost you $6 million, even though you don't want to, you got to do it, because if the alternative is two guys who can't play, then why are you saving money for your third line if you got a goalie who can't win you any games?
Right.
The third line's meaningless if you got a goalie who sucks and can't play. Like, that's the truth, though.
Yeah.
Like, you got to make sure you allot whatever you have to allot into the goaltending position. You have to. You got to get it right.
And I don't know. Like, Varlamov has a no move, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he can choose where he wants to go. And Lou isn't just handing him away to anybody for the sake of handing him away. So there's goalies that are going to be available. I mean, you're hearing rumblings out of Florida.
That's not happening.
That's not happening?
No.
The Bobrovsky situation?
No. Well, I mean, again, he's got a full no move.
Yeah.
He loves Florida. He doesn't want to.
Well,
and I can tell you that the Florida Panthers are perplexed by the media speculation of Bobrovsky.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good, because
I had that conversation with two guys today about that and said no.
And he played well for them, too. And Spencer Knight is only 21 years old.
Yeah.
How are you going to win and hope to go deep into the playoffs with a kid who's really unestablished? They put him into the minors this year to give him more experience.
Is there a bunch of teams sniffing around on that Knight kid? They've got to be.
Yes, but I mean, exactly what Noodle said. I feel like that's what they're marching into next season with, is Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight.
But give him experience.
You just continue to give him experience. They really believe that they've got something special in Spencer Knight. So, yeah, I'm sure that their team's sniffing around because, hey, Florida didn't win anything. And we're pinning it on Andrew Burnett as a hockey society.
Which is not
because
right.
They're changing the coach, but there's a lot of marks all over that organization that need to be addressed, and Billy Zito, I'm sure, will try and do that.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So Matthews had himself a night last night.
Did he?
And as we know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, which means next July 1, I believe, he can officially sign an extension. What's your Jerry's percentages of that happening next summer?
You know what? I'm going to go high. I'm going to say 70%.
Wow. That's music to the ears of Maple Leaf fans.
70%.
Yeah.
Because that would be a bombshell on July 1. Forget who you're signing. hey, we've just announced Matthews with 1 year left on his deal. We're not letting this thing percolate.
$18 million a year.
Maybe it's another short deal, though. I mean, 5 years was relatively short. Because, look, the salary cap, not to bore our listeners or viewers, isn't going up a ton. And if you're Austin Matthews and you can command 20% of the salary cap, I mean, you're talking about a big beefy.
Hey, maybe it's a 3 or 4 year extension.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'll sign off on that.
That'd be fine. Yeah. Who's not accepting that
right now?
We'll
just kick the can down the road while you're in the window. the elephant in the room, and it's not disrespectful, is the Tavares contract. So right. you're tied into 11 there. So
for 3 more years.
Until you've got more flexibility there to actually allot money around the rest of the roster,
yeah.
Then, you know, Austin, the team has to take steps. Like, they had an amazing season last year. Are they guaranteed to get 115 points next year? Like, that's the thing, that they're going to be up against it. You know, we don't even know who's stopping pucks for them next year. Like, yeah, you got Gio extended on a team-friendly deal, but Gio's 39.
Yeah, still like, a lot of questions.
There's a lot of question marks. Kyle's got a lot of work to do this summer to get this team right back to where they were last year.
And the heat is real now.
Oh, for
right?
sure it's like, real.
You know, I don't think any of us expected that there was going to be hockey operations full-scale changes, be it coach, management, Brendan Shanahan, any of that. I mean, they're on the clock now. They have to be for sure. Next season. They have to be.
You would think so, Darren.
You would think so after
for sure.
six years.
But you need success. You need things to build on. And, you know, Hayes, you said it at the start of the conversation. It's not respect, comments, that type of stuff. It's actual results.
Tangible results.
And, you know, you just had a guy who won the Hart Trophy and the Ted Lindsay. Like, he's got a bunch of personal stuff. He wants to get his team through to the next level, too. Same thing like McKinnon, same thing like McDavid. Yeah. Best players have dragged their teams through this stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Matthews wants to do that next year.
For sure.
What are you expecting tonight, Dregs? It sounds like Kadri will play.
Sounds like it. Yeah. I mean, again, at what percentage? You know, that hand is going to be a problem. I'm sure they have it all numbed up, and mobility will be a bit of an issue, but he'll help. He'll help. We talked about it on the panel tonight. It feels like that win in Game 3 was a huge shift in the series in favor of Tampa Bay. But, you know, pivotal. That's what James Duthie called it. Hey, oh, it's pivotal Game 4.
Tell you what, I think it's things very differently, as you guys all know. But it's a massive opportunity for Kadri. Like,
yeah.
It could be like Bobby Bonds scored a goal on a broken. Like, it could be the Kadri game. Like, yeah, it could be the game where he comes back and he has a big goal at a big moment, and they go back to Colorado and win the cup. It's just a massive opportunity. I think it's great to see.
Yeah. It's a big storyline for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dregs. Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.